TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here.
You know, God has called us to be salt. As a matter of fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, this is Jesus saying, and he's saying what God told him to say, because he said nothing unless the Father told him. He said, talking about believers, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Which is a huge doctrinal explosion, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, once salt, always salt. You can't lose your saltiness. He says, this is what he said. You are the salt of the earth. And if you're a believer, say, I'm the salt of the earth. Listen to this. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's three things that salt do. When you think about salt, I don't know salt preserves. Mm-hmm. It preserves for years. You know, that's how things were preserved. Meats were preserved for years by smoking and by salt. And they would just pack the meat in the salt, and it would just keep it from bacteria, I guess, and all this different. It would just preserve. It would preserve things. And that's why probably a lot of the foods that we buy have high sodium content in it, because it probably preserves, you know, a lot of those things that's going on. We've eaten so much salt, I think it's preserving us.
Yeah, right.
But there's something else that salt also adds and brings out the flavor of food. I don't know if you've ever eaten food without salt on it, but it's like, is all food the same? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, without salt, it's like, I don't think there's any difference between anything.
Bust out the salt, yes. Yeah.
But think about it. I mean, why would this food tastes the same as this food when they're not the same food? Mm. I mean, why would it be that way? But and it's interesting, when you add a little salt to it, then it tastes different than the other food. So it just brings out the flavor of the food. And so salt adds to or brings out flavor. When you think about, first of all, when salt preserves, then Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, that we're called to preserve the message of the kingdom, the church, and to be of the message of hope and love, and that God desires to dwell with men, and we're called to preserve his message, his truth, the church, just in his soon return. We're also called to add to and to bring flavor to life. Understand that life has no meaning outside of God. That's why when, if you read my testimony, I tried all these different things. I'm trying to find, but there was no salt in it. Mm. But I had one particular friend of mine in the Navy that would always, he was a Christian, he would talk to me, and what he would do is sprinkle salt. He would just sprinkle salt. And it just drew me to God, you know, in his life. I didn't make a decision then, but it drew me to God, and I kind of followed him because he just sprinkled things here and there. Of course, I sprinkled some of the world back.
You did?
It was terrible. I'm like, yeah, I heard your singer on some secular station.
Oh,
isn't that terrible? That
is terrible.
But awful. I wasn't as bad as Pat was. And but you know, it's just, think about it. It's just you just, salt's meant to be sprinkled. And what happens is that life has no meaning without salt. So you can, even though somebody does not even know God, that you are supposed to be that sprinkling in their life to make them aware of God. Mm. And that your very presence in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your state, in your nation, causes people to be aware of God and to bring flavor to life and meaning to life and purpose and direction and vision. And they'll keep searching this after this after this, but they'll remember that what you have has brought flavor to life. It's brought purpose to life and destiny. But you have to remember this too. The last thing I want to talk about salt is salt aborts.
Mm.
Too much salt aborts. Remember, salt's meant to be sprinkled. I guess yesterday was the 40th year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and over 55 million children in America have been aborted. Well, a lot of those abortions were done by salt. They would inject salt into the woman's womb, a saline solution, a salt solution, and that would cause the death of the baby and cause the baby to be aborted. Hmm. And you have to understand is just because we know something doesn't mean we should say something. That you can, as a new minister or a new Christian that's desiring to go out and just advance the kingdom, sometimes you have a tendency probably to just abort an opportunity, abort a word of knowledge, abort a person who was about to be born into the kingdom, or a brand new believer, like Jesus said, you go all the way across the sea to win a convert, and you bring them back. And then you put so much on their back that they can't even lift it, mm-hmm. and you don't lift a finger to help them. In other words, they aborted what they put on them. They aborted that birth into the kingdom. And he said, "You made him twice as much a son as hell as you." That's what he said. Wow. But understanding that salt has to be used, but it has to be used carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling us we're the salt of the earth, and that we can't just. Just because we know something, we shouldn't say something. And there's people that crank off like, yes, Leviticus 12 and line, go back to property. It's like, oh my goodness.
Hmm.
You got this number thing down. Do you know God? You're cranking off numbers left and right, proving, just
that you know numbers.
Aborting, my thoughts towards you. that people are feeling really intimidated by a religious spirit like that. And, that you got to be careful, that take your time and be patient and long-suffering. And it may take, they say, you can tell me, John, who says this, but seven times, statistically, they say seven times you have to sprinkle testimony. Larry Tomczak, that people, most people that do make a decision for God has made it after seven times of hearing about him and mm-hmm. testimonies about him and encounter with him. What does that mean? They've been sprinkled seven times with the love of God and, miracles and whatever that is. But understand that if you can abort it before the other six times come up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is just send a verse of scripture to someone and say, I'm thinking about you. Or just say, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
Or pray for them. Or have a cup of coffee with them and just be light. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But it goes right from salt to light. And it's like, not only we need to be salt, not only are we the salt of the earth, but we are also the light of the world.
Right.
And so we have a responsibility, before God to be the salt and the light. And think about it. He says, I'm just going to talk about it. He says that we're going to finish this up after the break. I'm going to talk to you about the light, because we're called to be the salt and the light. Jesus says, when he's talking to his followers, he says, you are the salt of the earth. When you think about it, that salt really does three things. It preserves, and we're called to preserve the kingdom, preserve the church. Salt also adds to or brings out flavor in something. And also, too much salt aborts. Mm-hmm. And not only does it, you think about it, as we talked about, even aborting, that it'll abort life itself of adults, because they say if you're eating too much salt,
yeah,
it takes your life out. Your blood pressure goes up and then your life ends. But yet it was good in moderation, and you needed it to be able to have a zest in life and a flavor of life. But too much salt will abort your own life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also says, this is what Jesus tells us that we are. And, so many people need to be sprinkled with salt, mm-hmm. salt of God's hope and love. And it just changes their life forever. But also, then he goes on, it says, you are the light of the world. I mean, think about it. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's huge, isn't it? When we're standing in darkness and screaming at darkness, and we're Christians, and we said, wait a minute, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Why are you screaming into our darkness? Why don't you just shine your light?
Right.
Think about it. Why should we scream at darkness if we're the light?
Mm-hmm.
And we're the light of the world. You should be able to take a believer around with you, and everywhere you're going, no matter how dark it is, you should be able to see your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it should be. He says, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, if we're saying, listen, nobody's acknowledging God. Nobody's praising God. Like I said yesterday, you know, people in the 50s who didn't even know God feared God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? But Christians were letting their light shine.
Right. Yeah.
They were shining their light. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who's in heaven. So we want people to start acknowledging and praising God. Then we have to be that light. We have to begin to do what's right ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you think about light, that's just so important, because without it, you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, you're blind, or you're living off someone else's light. And, you know, David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, it tells me where I am, and a light unto my path, it tells me where I'm going. When I take God's light into me, the word into me, and Christ is in me, when I just allow that to come out of my life, I just share what's happening in my life. I share about what God revealed to me, that maybe that day in my abiding time. Maybe I share about a testimony, how God moved, or I just go help somebody in a time of need, bringing them shelter or clothing or something, and just whatever. By doing these things, that's the light of God shining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the light of God shining. That's what he's called us to do. And he's thinking about it. Do you think about this? This is, I already believe the Lord would say, that he's, well, I don't know. This is what I'd say. Did I do all this in your life so you could hide this light?
Mm. Under a bowl?
Under a bowl? Mm.
Did I,
you know where I got you from. Do you think I did all this so you don't shine this reality on anybody else? That you don't tell them your testimony? That you don't? Do you think I provided for you and took care of you and you're not going to tell anybody about it? You're not going to let any light shine? Do you really think that I meant for this to be hid under a bowl? You're the light of the world.
Mm.
I really believe that's what he's saying. You're the light of the world.
Mm. Yeah.
You're the salt of the earth. Life has no meaning without you sprinkling the truths of God's realities upon them and shining the light to let them know where things are at and acknowledging God. They'll do that when we actually begin to be the light of the world. I mean, how many times are we guilty of screaming or hollering at darkness and realizing, you know what, we just need to be the light. Dark people can't be light.
Right.
You know, people that walk in darkness can't be light. And the whole thing is that we can actually sprinkle the salt of God's truths in their life by just being there for them and helping them out. And, you know, one thing that I love to do, and it's in me, and I encourage other people always do, is, you know, there's a time when you don't have a job and you're looking for a job and you know how to do it. And but there's a time when somebody else doesn't have a job, but a lot of people don't think about, hey, you should always be looking for jobs because you can hand them out.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
You can hand them out. You should always look for jobs. Not one good, you got yours, but what about 23 million people in America who don't have one?
Mm-hmm.
That how loving and kind and how much light is that when you said that you prayed about, you know, about finding a job and God revealed this job to you and you hand it to somebody?
Mm.
That's, God just gets glory for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, what they do with it, it's up to them. But the fact is that, you know, God says, I'll bless the work of your hands, and that he can just bless somebody with economy. But something as simple as, like, you know, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to look for jobs for people, and I'm going to pray that God would lead me to people who need them. And it happens all the time. I think about, you know, Brett in Denver. I mean, he was able to, mm-hmm. to lead a friend of his to a job. And I think about so many. We've done mm-hmm. that so many times, haven't we?
Just, oh, yeah.
So many jobs. That's really cool. I mean, think about it. Because when you lead somebody to a job who is a worker, that's food for them. That's shelter for them. That's a future in regards to being able to survive in their present nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot, because you're leading them to, you're not fishing for them. You're teaching them how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, here. You know, most people are trying to step over people, trying to get promotions and jobs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it will blow somebody away, and it does. in their thought life when you start saying, you know, I was just praying at just this job right here for this particular agent or whatever, that you're supposed to have this. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
And that's what great. God does. God provides for us.
Yeah, it's a great witness, you know, because a lot, like you said, a lot of times everyone's looking for out for themselves. But it's a great way for us to be able to share with others, you know. And listen, if you help me with a need, you know what I'm saying? If I don't know God and you help me and you tell me you were praying for me and you not only prayed, but you actually got, you know, invested in me and you actually went and searched and maybe looked and came across and you shared that with me. Dude, I'm open to hear anything else you got to say.
Right. And if I shut you down about a month or so, I'll remember down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
That it was God that led me to this job and he used you to do it. And they'll probably even be in their meetings going, you know, this job was brought to me. It was, you know, somebody had prayed.
Undeniable.
Right? Undeniable. And they become a witness for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Right. And it really is better to give than receive. I'm telling you, I encourage you to begin to believe God. And tell me, why wouldn't God make a job available to you if you're actually going to give it to someone else?
I'm just thinking about the woman that we shared about the other day on the program, that she got so blessed. God was, there was so much light being shined on her that the Lord blessed her with a car and with a job.
Right.
On her birthday.
Best money in town, best hours you need, paid her bills, did everything. Yeah.
And that's something that she'll never forget, no matter right. where she goes, that God was the one that did that for me.
Yes. Yeah. And so I encourage you, as we're coming to the end of the first hour, to do that, to look and ask God, say, God, help me, give me a job that I can give to someone else.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Have you ever had difficulty celebrating both Jesus and Santa at Christmas time? Here's VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer explaining how, really, it's two holidays in one.
Rather than just saying, ignore it, pay no attention to the man in the red suit. No, instead of doing that, unpack it and say, you know what? We aren't talking about the same holiday. Let's talk about the two different holidays that became Christmas. We have Jesus' birthday, which was called the Christ's Mass, and we have St. Nicholas Day, which was on December 6th until Martin Luther canceled it. And people loved it so much that we moved it over to Christmas Eve. And you can actually explain to kids, look, that's the St. Nicholas part, and this is the Jesus' birthday part. There are two parts to this holiday, and that's okay.
Isn't it interesting that celebrating the birth of Jesus and recognizing the kindness of St. Nick can go hand in hand? You'll find more trusted advice at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Man, it's just, technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives. For example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that, you can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV. Whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
Away in a man.
listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Little Lord Jesus, asleep on the hill.
You know, it was just amazing. Earlier when you were talking about being the light, reminded me of something God was speaking to me about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1 John, the word says that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light.
Mm.
In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Wow.
Yeah, I just thought that was just so powerful. And
but that's how we're the light of the world, not just being existing, right, but actually walking with God.
Right, it's walking with God, and the light is God's word. You know, and as I meditated on it, he just began to talk to me. And, you know, I had mentioned this yesterday, but God tells us to write his commands on our heart. And this is why we are to abide. When we abide, you know, he was telling me that this is what is meant by walking in the light. The light is God's word. And we'll keep darkness from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is for there is no darkness that is in God. Therefore, darkness will not be in us.
There's protection in walking in the light.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. You know, therefore, darkness can't overtake us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as we're walking in the Word and in His light.
So it's not our own light. When He says you're the light of the world, really, it's Christ's light in us.
Right. It's His light shining through us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what's so important, and that what we need to stand on, and that it's his word. It's not our word. It's not our light. It's his light.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's really good.
Yeah, you know, so it's just very powerful. You know, and it took me to Psalms where David says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." You know, God will not listen to us if we do not abide, or if we do not deal with the sin that's in our hearts.
Uh-huh.
You know, the sin is the darkness. You know, it's just so imperative to, you know, continually deal with that and cherish God's word in our heart.
So darkness chokes out the light.
Darkness chokes out the light.
Wow. And that's why you say, you know, you don't want to play with sin. You don't want to take things into your eyes. It's ungodly. You don't want to do this because you're choking out your light,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So being the light of the world, that really goes right in, like you're saying, with that's Christ's light shining through us.
Right.
Wow. So cool. So awesome.
Yeah.
And he didn't do all this in our life for our light not to shine or his light not to shine through us.
Right. Like you were saying, we're not supposed to put it under a bowl. We're supposed to be out there letting God's light shine through us into other people's darkness.
Right.
You know, instead of screaming at darkness, it's our light that penetrates.
Wow. Like Tommy Tenney said, he said that Jesus has this idea that church is all about him. I love that, you know. In God Chasers, he's talking about it, that it is about his, we were lost and undone without him. We were in That's utter right. darkness. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not.
Not.
And so when we walk into darkness, we're allowing Jesus Christ's light, his light that's in us. When we open our mouths and we do what we do, that's allowing God, you as a Christian right now, when you do that, your light's shining. And people don't say, hey, just thank you for shining on me. They don't just be able to walk up. But listen, they feel the presence of God. They the Holy Spirit works in that whole situation. And it's not about how we keep up with what happened with that person. Understand God will accomplish things in their life that you might not know about just by you being the light. So many people are trying to do something that looks religious, that lines up with the religious folks of the day,
mm-hmm.
and versus saying, you know what? I'm supposed to be light here. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if you'll be light, in the midst of that darkness, there will be people that come to the light. They'll come to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you'll find out, my goodness, I don't know what that was, but this is good. I like what God is doing here.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's so many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Is, you know, as in of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got on their knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, but I've been seeing even in the Gulf Coast where I've been watching, there's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, and we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover. Is that each day a different minister from the city, from, you know, one denomination to another denomination to another denomination. And this is how revival happens. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, you know, a father in his church, a family and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different pastors that are coming together. And if you, want to be a part of that, you know, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org, but it's not just a Baptist. It's everybody coming together and 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, "Dear Lord, you know, help us." And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson saw when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when you start seeing, you know, the you know, ministers come together and a fellowship like that, and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates.
Yes.
To hear what's being said.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear?"
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I love abiding because it's not something that I have to do.
Right.
It's something that I get to do.
Isn't it exciting? Oh my goodness, if you only knew how exciting this is. Like, okay, finally, I get my abiding time. Yeah, it makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
Yeah, think about it. I get a chance to be with God every morning.
With God.
Exactly. You know, I may not have an audience with anyone else. You know, I may not have an audience with cabinet members or government officials or anyone of that type of importance. But you know what? I have an audience with the King of Kings. You know what I mean?
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Awesome. Well, you know, this morning as I was reading in the Word, I started meditating on a thought. You know, everybody wants the blessing of God. You know, Greg, everybody wants God on their side. I mean, who wouldn't? Someone goes on an interview and they're about to get on anything. Can you please pray for me? Oh, sure, I can pray for you. You know, want God on our side. You know, you have children issues, you know, ever had some of those before, you know, young and old. Can you please pray for my kids? I need God on my side. Maybe some marriage issues, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is God out there? Need God out there? Yeah, yeah. Never turn down prayer, you know?
Right.
And people out there can have money issues. And it's like, oh my goodness, I need God. I need God. Side. Well, there's a little secret, not really a secret, Greg, because it's really found in God's Word. But James chapter 4, verse 8 just flew the page to me as I was reading it this morning. And the Word of God says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you."
So you're saying that we make an approach. We begin to come, our abiding time, we just begin to go hang out with Him.
Absolutely. You know, and the Old Testament, King Saul, the Word of God says that he built an altar for the Lord, and it was the first time he had done that. He made an abiding place. He said, a set time and a set place where he can just read and spend time. He really didn't read, you know, but we read. Spend time with God. And we take the first step.
King Saul.
King Saul.
He didn't hang out. He quit hanging out after a while, I think. He quit abiding after a while.
Yeah, yeah, after a while. But he started out good. You know, started out good. And
so it's important not only just to do, just to begin abiding, but just to, you know, to continue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and so many times, you know, we can get into the trap of maybe seeking the Lord's hand, God's hand, but we're not seeking his face. We're not seeking him. And, you know, we definitely want to be able to do that. We want to be able to spend time with him and be encouraged that if we are on the Lord's side, if we are drawing close to him, then he is with us. We can have that full assurance of knowing that God is with us. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And that's an inheritance for us as we spend time and read his word and listen to what God really would want us to know for that day, that daily bread. And I want to encourage anyone that maybe you're not as close as where you want to be. Maybe you haven't drawn close to God. Well, guess what? You can today. You can today. God's promise is that if you return to him, he will return to you. And so I enjoyed reading that this morning. I was just blessed and encouraged to know that the Lord is with me because I am with him.
That's so good because, you know, sheep have a tendency to wander. You know, we go, you know, we eat at this grass for a while and we're going like, that grass looks a little bit green. I wonder what that grass tastes like, right? I mean, you know, we're not sheep.
Right.
Nobody compared us to sheep. And I know that I remember when Pat and I were over in Israel and we're there with a shepherd. Remember that, Pat, when we were there with a shepherd and he was sitting there watching his sheep and they had, I don't know how many sheep they were. How many think they were?
It was probably 20, 30 sheep.
So it was 75.
Oh, actually, it was 26. Sheep,
well, it was more than 26, wasn't it? It had to be.
Well, they were scattered all over the plains. So it was kind of hard to count.
But they were together. They were scattered together. Yeah. And so he was sitting there in his straw hat, and he looked kind of just calm and all that kind of stuff. So I said, you know, let's, you know, I'm going to go out there and see if I can get close to the sheep. And then the entire herd just kind of moved away, like, and somebody other than the shepherd, you know, and the shepherd just sat there with his two little sheepdog, and he probably just said, "You stupid Americans." No, that's German. He wouldn't have said that. It would have been more like, I can't speak. Can you speak Hebrew?
No.
Okay, John can. He's deeply, deeply, he's got a pedigree.
Yeah.
No.
Diesel has a pedigree. It was really interesting that, you know, he says, "My sheep know my voice." And they were looking back at the shepherd to see how, you know, who is this American here in Israel? I don't know if we were in Tiberias. I don't know. Maybe Tiberias, because we actually were at the house of prayer and then got and took off. And somehow we're down there with Karen. But it was really cool to kind of see it. You know, today I have a picture in my office that has there was a shepherding contest Georgia, Northern Georgia there. And by the way, if anybody's listening from Northern Georgia, I would like some more pictures of that. I'll find out what it's actually called. But the shepherds, all the sheep are gathered around this oak tree, and he has his sheepdog right beside him, and he's got his shepherd's rod under his arm. And he's sitting there in a pair of jeans, and like a denim jacket or something. And he has a distance from the sheep, just like the shepherd did over in Israel. And it's just so cool that, you know, I want to encourage you, and this we're going to have this conversation. We're going to be talking over our conversation that, listen, God wants shepherds over his flock. And, you know, if you're caring for someone, if you're helping disciple them, if you're seeking to attend a training like VFNU, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit in this show, but you listen, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for somebody to be looking over God's people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. And see, if anything is trying to keep you and from protecting and taking care of God's people, telling you that it's not valuable, it's not worth, whatever the lie is. It's the lie from the father of lies. It's Satan just, you know, firing, you know, thoughts into your mind and your heart and telling you, you know, who are you? You can't do this and you can't do this. And listen, you know, I don't care who's fighting for me. I'm glad they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And we're doing, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Greater love have no man than to lay down his life for his friend.
Right. And you think about it. David is a good example of how he fought for God's people. You know, when he finally got to the place of leadership over God's people, he said this words. He says, I know why you got me here. You brought me here to protect your people. And the Lord says, you know, if the shepherds, present shepherds don't do it, I'll raise up for myself shepherds. And I'm going to encourage you that we're personally seeing many shepherds raised up, and we're starting to see even more of them start to be alerted and finding out, you know, inside of me, there's a desire inside of me to look over God's people and see that they're protected and that they're discipled and that they're loved. And it's just really cool to see God do that. You know, God's raising up shepherds, you know, for himself. And what's so cool, you know, what you're talking about your abiding time this morning, John, that when we draw near to God, when we draw near to God, you know, he draws near to us. That is so encouraging because, you know, we got to take that first step. You know, he took the first step while we were yet sinners. He died for us. But now it's time for us to take that next step.
That's right. And we can take that step. You know, all it takes is just our hearts open and willing to be able to communicate to the Lord and say, hey, God, I'm here. I'm here. I want all that you have for me. And once we take that first step, God makes himself available to us. It's just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Yes. Why would you give something to somebody if they didn't want it? And you taking that first step is clearly telling the Lord, yeah, hey, you want them.
You know, think about it. It's not only just beautiful. It's just cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're seeing eight-year-olds, you know, get a word from the Lord.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour, chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what was I doing? The last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so anyway, I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running and I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running and it's just me and him in the woods and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? And we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff. And I'm chasing this. You know, I was in better shape then. I was chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And all of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. Now I was running through these woods. It wasn't dark to me. You know, it was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree, and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they said, we're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light. And I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no light.
And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am, right here, help me, I'm right here, please don't let him bite me. Anyway. And so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him. I said, listen. I said, I was chasing you. And I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sure goes a lot further than salt. He was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm beating on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was thinking, just coming across and just thinking about stuff and praying, and started realizing, not realizing, but I guess contemplating that, you know, many people today are skeptical. You know, they seem to be suspicious of just about everything. And they become even not sure of themselves at times and just of others. And you look at the world and what's happening, there's so much falsehood and just deception in the land today. And one of the things that makes the Lord just so appealing and just so awesome is that he's faithful and that he's true. In the world that we live in, where there are lies, there are deceptions, things are not what they appear, God is so true and so real. And as believers, when we give our lives to the Lord, you know, we engage God through faith. We engage God through having obviously a relationship with him. But faith is the currency of heaven. It's how we believe God for everything from salvation to everything for growth and everything else in our life. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I mean, think about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we're going to come to him, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that he exists and that he's going to reward us. And I think about an account in Mark 11 where Jesus was walking with the disciples and they were leaving Bethany, and Jesus was trying to get a fruit from trying to get a fig from the fig tree, and he gets approached and realized there wasn't no figs on there. So he cursed the fig tree and kind of went on his way. And as they kind of finished their ministering and what they were doing, they were coming back, and the disciples say, you know, look, actually it was Peter. He said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the tree that you cursed has withered, as if he was shocked. And this is what Jesus' response to Peter was. He says, have faith in God. Listen, there's so many people right now that are putting faith in so many other things. They're putting faith in themselves. They're putting faith in their jobs. They're putting faith in their resources. They're putting faith in their knowledge. They're putting faith in other people. But God instructs us to put our faith, the substance that pleases God the most, in him. Then he says, I tell you the truth, that if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And I think about how much time we spend praying. You know, are we really believing? Are we wishing? Are we hoping? Lord, would you? Can you? Maybe. And it's like we got to come to a point in our prayer that we're not asking just to ask. We're not hoping and wishing. But God's given us, he's showing us how to pray. He says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Right? Believe you and not to doubt. And doubting is being undecided, skeptical, being, you know, unlikely, lack of certainty, lack of confidence, and the direct opposite of belief, which is to accept as true, to have confidence in the value of some, to accept it, to have a strong conviction. If we get back and forth being double-minded, we're not going to get anything from God. We're not going to be anything from God. And many are disappointed because they don't see their prayers answered. Many, they're disappointed. They're saying, God, what's happening? But you're not praying with belief. You're doubting every single thing that you're praying about, that you're asking God about. And it's time. It's time to pray the way Jesus instructed us to pray, with an expectation and anticipation that what we prayed and declared will and has happened. He says, believe that you have received it. Not believe that you will receive it, that you might receive it, right? Believe that you're going to receive it, right? But he says, believe that you have it. It's present. It's present. You have the title faith. You believe it. It's here. I've got it now. And James talks about, James 1:6 says that, but when he asks, when you ask in prayer, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Listen, God's called us to believe for great things. He's calling us to pray. You know, God doesn't have a plan B. It's us. He's given us dominion on the face of the earth as believers. And he told Adam, and he's telling us, take dominion, rule and reign. Pray, my will be done. You know, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we got to believe God to step out in greater ways, to believe God for the harvest, to believe God for him to move in our own lives, to believe God to move in our family's life. You know, someone says, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, I'll pray for you, or can you pray for me? And it's like, are you really praying? You know what I'm saying? Are you praying with faith? And God doesn't want us to wish and to be double-minded, but he wants us to pray with certainty. He says, ask whatever you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And I'm encouraged by that today. We want to encourage you today. Believe God. God's desire is for you to believe him, is to trust him in all of your ways, right? We're supposed to acknowledge him and not to be double-minded. You know, it's one of the things that as a parent, you when you have small children, you want them to trust you and to believe in what you're saying. So it's like, okay, come on, you know, I said it. You know, one of the things I like to do with my little girls, I put her on a little counter and I just tell her to jump. And it's so funny because I'll be so close and she'll jump and she'll smile. And then I'll get a further distance away. And she'll, you know, she can say, oh, he's going to catch me. He's going to catch me. And I go, come on, jump. And she's like, no, daddy. And I said, come on and jump. And so she jumps and then she laughs again and put her back up. And it's like the Lord just says, listen, trust me. Trust me. Pray, believe, receive, declare it. And I'll tell you, if one can send 1,000 a flight and two can send 10,000 a flight, by ourselves, we're like a zero, right? But when we stand next to Jesus, the number one, automatically you become 10. And if the next person stands next to us, another zero, right? We're nothing without God. We become 100. And then another, you know, it's prayer. It's agreement. But if we don't believe, we don't believe. We have a bunch of unbelieving believers. We got to settle that in our heart. We got to settle that in our heart with God's word and say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it.
That's so good. You know, the word of God lets us know where Jesus says, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? So that means a lot of religion could be going on, but does anybody, you know, moving in faith, praying in faith? And what would be, if somebody was praying a prayer of faith, what would that sound like? I mean, give us a paradigm of that. So, you know, So a lot of times we separate God from our heart and believe him out there, but we're not believing him through us, that it's something happening in our life and through our life. So how would that sound?
A prayer of faith. I mean, if you're praying for your healing, you're declaring, you're saying, God, I believe today that your word is true. I believe that your word says that by your stripes I am healed. So, Lord, I declare that in my life today, that I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. I am healed, God, because your word says it, and I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith, and I'm just going to, you know, continue to pray that out and believe that and confess it.
That's good. It's a power of confession. I can feel that prayer. I can feel that prayer when you're
confession.
That's awesome. So in the area of healing and finances, what would finances sound like?
Well, Lord, I thank you that I'm blessed. You've called me to be the head and not the tail. Lord, I've honored you with your in the word, right? Because of tithing you give, Lord. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord in my life. I receive them today. I'm not going to look for my circumstances to dictate. You know, I'm not going to look at the natural. I'm going to believe in the spiritual. I'm going to believe what your word says, Lord, and I'm blessed. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord. I'm a giver. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm a giver, Lord. I'm a blessed person. And it's just declaring the word of God. It's not, you know, moving in doubt, not looking at your natural circumstances, but it's actually believing what God says.
And I felt that prayer. I felt that prayer, you know, and sometimes it's good just to hear people pray, and it kind of lets you know. And if you haven't ever gone to IHOP Kansas City's website at ihop.org, and listen to the prayer room. Listen to them pray. They pray 24 hours a day. Well, they pray, worship and play music and pray for all that together for 24 hours. And you can just begin to listen to people pray, and it'll help you begin to articulate a prayer. And you'll be surprised eventually. But praying in faith, you know, confessing God's word over you, what God's
word
says. So
important. So important, you know, because and that's the thing. If we have only 19% of believers that are reading the actual word of God, how are we going to pray the word of God back to the Lord? You know what I mean? Spending time with God, abiding is so important because you're agreeing with God's word. It's beautiful to pray the word of God when you're abiding. That's powerful. You know, saying, Lord, I want to see this manifested in my life and be in agreement with the truth,
right,
until it gets locked on the inside of your faith.
Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, The Mouth, I think it's called The Mouth, and he says every day he would take his Goss pills, P-I-L-L-S, and he took the scriptures and he wrote them in a way that you're actually speaking first person about yourself.
Yeah.
And begin to just, you know, confess these things over. You notice that the enemy's taken over the airwaves and the sound waves of trying to speak things over. That's why Islam puts these towers up and have this Antichrist message coming out 5 times a day.
Mm. Yeah.
And because it's just, you know, claiming the airways. But if you can begin to speak over yourself, sometimes there's times when you're like David, everything just kind of goes awry. You're just trying to, somebody says, well, how come you have it? It's like, right now I'm just trying to survive. You know, trying to survive the guy that thinks I'm trying to take his job or something. So remember, Saul was actually running after him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he's just terrified that I'm trying to take his job, and I really respect him, but he's just fearful and self-minded and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he has to work with the people he doesn't want to work with, and the very people he was protecting, and he didn't even ask to be with them in the first place. They came to the cave he was in, and everything just kind of progressed from there. Now they're even turning against him. And so he had to encourage his own self in the Lord.
Yeah, think about what we talked about yesterday, and you were talking about self-hate. That a lot of people are into self-hate, and there's a segment that we're talking about forgiveness and receiving with Dwayne Wade's mother, that, you know, her testimony was that she was in prison and her son had to see her in prison, she had a lot of self-hate to get over. And I love what David says in the Psalms. He says, listen, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. And it's like, man, confessing that there's so much self-hate today, and people are just, you know, looking at themselves and comparing their bodies, and this is ugly, and that's ugly, and this, and that's like, listen, you got to get God's perspective. You got to get God's perspective on who he says that you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I used to have a little sign. Actually, my mother gave it to me when I was just maybe a young kid in school, and I had it in my mirror, and it said, "God, you are okay. Because God doesn't make junk." I can't tell you how that little thing on my mirror when I was a kid helped me for such a long period of time as I was getting ready in the morning to go to school and remembering that, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay. That's right, because God doesn't make junk. Everything that God does is good.
That's very good. That's very good. And you just begin to speak what God says over you. There's so many different ways that you can do that. But just as you read the scripture, think about writing them out in personal application to your life. You know, blessed is, you know, the man that abides, and that if you abide, then you're fruitful. And then you can take that whole John 15 and begin to just write it out in a way that's an affirming statement over you. You can begin to write out Joshua chapter 1 like it's affirming, and you just say, this is who I am. And you're confessing what not yet has manifested in your life by faith, knowing that that's going to happen. And that's just that's so important to do. And that's why you have to have clear vision for where you're going, as we're talking about also in the first hour, because if you don't have clear vision, you can't get a clear word. If you can't get a clear word, you can't get a clear direction for what you're going to be doing. And so how can you have faith in blurriness and ambivalence? You can't.
Right.
A double-minded man
gets nothing.
Nothing from God. And it's not necessarily about when you're beginning to determine what's going to, you know, God's going to do. It's not about, you know, good. It's about God. A lot of good things are getting in the way of God things, because people say, that's a good thing. Aren't I supposed to be doing that? And it's like, you know, hey, you know, just you need to do, all you got to do is do something what God has called you to be able to do something about.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Isn't it so cool, all of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFNTV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.